Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey, it's the weekend, so you know what that means. It's Barbecue Nation time. Hi, everybody. I'm JT along with Reynolds here at the Barbecue Command Center in downtown Portland. We've got some new stations I want to talk to you about. We're here on KUFO and The Fan here in Portland, so we've expanded our reach here. And The Game, excuse me. Sorry, I just got a very chastising look from Reynolds, and rightfully so. And then next week we start broadcasting again, our newly in Seattle on KVI up there. So that's going to be a lot of fun. This week we welcome to the show Meathead Goldwyn. Now his real name is, but he goes by Meathead. And Meathead has this amazing, no pun intended, website called AmazingRibs.com. And if you've studied barbecue or looked into barbecue or have questions about barbecue, more than likely not, you've gone to Amazing Ribs because of what Meathead and his crew back there have done on the website. Lots of good answers, and we're going to be talking to him right now. So welcome to the show, Meathead.
Well, thank you for the kind words.
No worries. No worries. Well deserved. What, to kind of get it started here, what prompted you to start a website like this?
It's a good story. I came out of the wine world.
Uh-huh.
I was the wine critic for the Chicago Tribune and the Washington Post. I published a magazine called International Wine Review. And I just got, after 19 years in the wine biz, I got tired. And I decided I wanted to switch to solid food. And I loved barbecue. I was always cooking barbecue. And one day, my neighbor challenged me to a rib cook-off. So we're back in the early 2000s, and I immediately logged on to Amazon to buy a book on ribs.
Sure.
And there wasn't one. Can you imagine all the barbecue books in the world that are out there now? There's five or six new ones every year. There wasn't a good book anywhere on barbecue. So I said, wow, this is an opportunity. And so I started a website that would eventually, I thought, become a book. And named it Amazing Ribs because in those days, Amazon listed everything alphabetically.
Right.
So I wanted to be at the top of the list. Can you imagine how ancient that is? And so I started this barbecue website, and it grew from ribs to pulled pork to brisket to steaks, burgers. I mean, we're doing now what we call sous vide Q. We're working very deeply into sous vide to the smoker or to the grill.
Sure.
We're just having fun, man. There's over 1,000 pages on AmazingRibs.com, and this year I published a book.
I saw that. We're going to talk about that in a minute. What I think is kind of cool is if you talk to, and we talk to them all, the barbecue aficionados, and there's nothing wrong with this, but, you know, they're kind of, brisket is their thing, or pulled pork is their thing. But I agree with you because most people in their backyard on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon or a Tuesday evening in the summertime, they're going to take a whack at cooking some ribs because the time constraints, first of all. But secondly, that's just something they walk by in the supermarket and they go, man, that's a good looking rack of ribs. I think I'll get that taken home. We can cook it tonight.
Oh, and, yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, if I get more questions, like you know, I'm sure you get more questions than I do, but one of the things is always, you know, if they want to talk about cooking a brisket or they want to talk about cooking a tri-tip or something like that. But the things that people, I think, screw up the most are ribs because they don't have the patience or like one of the great things you talk about on your site is they're doing old school stuff like boiling the ribs, which ruins them. You know what I mean? But, yeah, I think I get more questions about ribs than anything.
Well, first of all, ribs are in every grocery store. A brisket is a special order item. To get a brisket, in most places, you got to go to the butcher and special order it.
Mm-hmm.
You can get one, but a lot of people say, I can't get brisket because the grocery stores don't stock them. But you can order anything you want from your butcher. If you've got a butcher in the back of the grocery store, or better still, if you have a standalone butcher store somewhere where there's actually somebody who knows how to hack away meat, you can order a brisket and have it anytime. You can get pork belly, all these interesting exotic meats like tri-tip and stuff. You can order that stuff. But ribs are in every grocery store, and ribs are everybody's favorite. I mean, by far over brisket. Because we put this wonderful, great, sweet sauce on it, and it, you eat with your fingers, you know? I mean,
oh, yeah.
That's elemental. You eat it with your fingers, you know? No silverware allowed. We get a lot of questions. We had 34 million people visit our website last year. A lot of them come for the ribs. But there's a lot of interesting stuff you can cook. Anything you can cook indoors, you can cook outdoors, only better. In fact, we've been playing a lot with frying on the grill,
mm-hmm.
which is a really interesting technique. And if you want to talk about that, I'll talk about that.
Oh, yeah, we can talk about that. I mean, that brings up something that we did when I was a kid because I grew up in the country. And we packed. My dad was a big horse guy, and I guess I was for a long time, too. But we would pack into wherever we were going to go for the weekend. Point being is we kind of learned on those cast iron skillets and grills over a hot fire, a real fire, you know. And,
yeah.
And then we kind of transformed that over the years into being able to fry on grills. So
mm-hmm.
tell me your stuff.
When you go fishing, you're gonna bread and fry in a shallow pan in a cast iron skillet over a fireplace, rather a campfire.
Yep.
I'm doing the same thing. Everybody loves fried chicken. You like fried chicken?
Love it.
Okay. You cook it at home?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
Yeah.
No, most people will say no. Most people, and you ask them why, and they'll say, well, it sets off the smoke alarm. It spatters all over the stovetop.
Right.
It stinks up the house for days, and it's just a mess and a pain in the neck. Get a gas grill. If you've got a gas grill, you go out back and you turn the burners on half on one side, and you get a cast iron Dutch oven.
Right.
And you put about an inch of oil down in the bottom of the cast iron Dutch oven and get it up to 375. You need a good digital thermometer. When it's up to 375, just roll your chicken in flour. I tell you, I have tried every coating known to man, from eggs to buttermilk and all kinds of fancy breadcrumbs. Just roll it in flour in the hot oil, and when it's beautiful, dark, and golden, pull it out. Check the temp. If it's not 165, put it on the other side of the grill where the burners are off and keep on frying. And it'll just sit there and continue to cook, and you'll have the most fabulous fried chicken, and you haven't stunk up the house. Your wife still loves you. You know, it's fantastic, and it's a great way to do a party, and everybody, and who cares if it spatters? You're not going to start a fire.
No.
It's not going to catch anything on fire. It's a great use for a gas grill.
Don't you think, Meathead, that it is, that's kind of reflective of a lot of things in barbecue and grilling and smoking or whatever you want to say, the simpler, the better? Because that's a very simple way to do it, to cook chicken. Like you said, not soaking it in buttermilk, not rolling it in 15 different kinds of, you know, Italian breadcrumbs and then re-dipping it and all this stuff.
Panko.
Yeah.
I loved it in panko. In fact, right after just plain old dredged in flour comes, soak it in a 50-50 vinegar and water dilution for about half an hour. And you get a vinegary or a pickly flavor, and it's kind of like those vinegar potato chips, you know?
Right, salt and vinegar.
They're really good. But no, I mean, ask me my philosophy of cooking, and it's not because I'm lazy, because I will do all kinds of complicated recipes. But I'm Mr. Simplicity. Cook a steak, salt and pepper.
Yep.
Let the steak shine through. Going to do a turkey? No way am I injecting it with Cajun spices. I might inject it with a little butter, but I mean, really simple. Let the protein or the vegetable speak for itself. In most cases, what it has to say is really worth listening to.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Meathead Goldwyn from AmazingRibs.com. And this is fun. Don't go away. We'll be back.
It's Full Flavored Radio, Barbecue Nation with JT.
Hey, welcome back to the Nation, Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network. I'm JT along with Reynolds. Want to tell you how you can communicate with us. It's Barbecue Nation, that's BBQ Nation at KXL.com. And you can send your recipes along with that. Reynolds, here's your big spot for the week.
Very exciting.
I know it is.
Facebook.com/BBQNation with JT.
How about that? And we've got some great stuff posted on there.
Recipes, not to cut you off there.
Yeah, Super Bowl recipes. We do have that. Say hi to a couple of our affiliates, too. KFLS down in Klamath Falls and KLBM over in LeGrand. We've got all kinds of stuff going on with this. And like I said, we launch next week on KVI in Seattle from 4 to 5 on Saturdays. So that's cool. We've got Meathead Goldwyn with us today. Meathead has AmazingRibs.com. And as he says on a little information piece he sent out to me, the science of barbecue and grilling. Well, you know, as long with science, there's also comes mythology. And so one of the things that Meathead has, and we touched on this as in one of my smart-ass remarks in the first segment, was boiling ribs to make them tender. So we're going to go over a few of the mythology things right now. I think my mom boiled ribs when I was a kid. We used to raise our own cattle, but we didn't finish the cattle out like we did. I mean, they were just steers, you know. They weren't finished out on grain or anything like that. So the meat probably wasn't very good. And but I really don't remember how it tasted. But the point is that's kind of a, you know, old wives' tale, I think.
Let me ask an intimate question here.
Sure.
Is your family by any chance of Eastern European derivation?
No, they were Irish.
Poland, Czechoslovakia, no. One of those countries.
No, they were Irish, English, and Swedish.
Actually, Irish. Well, here's what happens. You know, in much of Europe, the ribs were not a separate cut. They became a separate cut here in the United States during slavery, when master ate off high off the hog. That's where the expression, high off the hog. High meaning the muscle that runs along the backbone. That's the loin muscle.
Right.
The longissimus dorsi. It's a tender, low-fat muscle. But the ribs were down low on the hog, and they were a tough cut. Now, in Europe, that was not a separate cut. And that section was often simmered or boiled along with potatoes, cabbage, very common caraway seeds.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get into Czechoslovakia and Poland, your ribs are going to come to you in a bowl. And so all of that flavor is still in the bowl. It gets pulled out of the meat into the stew. But water is a solvent. That's why you wash your hands and your car with it. And when you put ribs in water, you pull flavor out. And so if you simmer or boil your ribs, when you are done, take a look at that water. It's gray.
Yep.
And that's all flavor that you've extracted from the meat, and you throw it down the drain. So to get the maximum mileage out of that meat, to get your value out of it, you paid for it, you want to roast it. You want to cook it at a low and slow temperature. It takes a long time to break down the connective tissues. Think of your muscle fibers like your fingers. And if you put your fingers in a glove, they're surrounded, these muscle fibers, by connective tissue. That's the glove. And that connects the muscle fibers to each other and keeps them from fraying and falling apart. And they're very tough. But if you cook them low and slow to a high temperature, they melt and they turn to gelatin. And that's full of flavor. So roasting them low and slow, either in the oven, on the grill, or on a smoker, mm-hmm. where you can get the additional flavor of smoke, which is what happened in the South, which is what the African-American slaves brought to the party, then you get really great-tasting, tender, juicy ribs. They won't fall off the bone, but they'll pull easily off the bone. They'll have the tenderness of a really tender steak. If you can't chew your ribs, then switch to baby food. We like to say on our website, if you boil ribs, the terrorists win.
Yes, that's true. That's true. And we've got about 2.5 minutes here before we go to break, so I'm going to ask you this. Your myth number two says the best ribs fall off the bone. I don't want my ribs falling off the bone, because then to me they're kind of mushy and they're not.
Yeah.
I mean, that's half of the fun of eating ribs is gnawing it on the bone. You know what I mean?
Right. It should pull off the bone.
Right.
When you're done biting it, the bone should come clean. And you shouldn't have lots of bits of meat stuck to the bone. If you do, then you haven't cooked them long enough.
Right.
But if they fall off the bone, you've either cooked them too long or you've boiled them and steamed them. And usually, if you go to a restaurant and you bite into the ribs and they just fall apart, they're like soft and mushy and really wet, they've probably parboiled them. And it's a restaurant trick,
sure,
to make them cook faster, because most restaurants haven't got the time to cook baby backs for 3 to 4 hours,
right,
or spare ribs 5 to 6 hours, which is what barbecue restaurants do. And that's why they often run out. You go to a great barbecue restaurant late in the day and order ribs, and they'll say, I'm sorry, I'm out.
Yeah, no, that's true, because you just don't. Well, I owned a restaurant at one time, but I would not own a rib restaurant, because I wouldn't want to try to guess all the time. I guess you would learn over a period of time. But to try to keep the amount of inventory you would need for those people that come in at 4:45 in the afternoon, mm-hmm. and say, I want 2 racks of ribs to go. And you're like, I don't have them. They're not here.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. It's a problem. But then again, supply and demand.
Sure.
Now people start learning to come in early.
Yeah.
Well, they packs in their order.
Yeah, they do that like down at Franklin's. You know, you stand in line down there forever. We're going to take a break here in a second. I want to tell you again, this is Meathead Goldwyn, and it's AmazingRibs.com. If you haven't been to that site, go to that site, and I'm going to put a link on all our stuff for Meathead and his site there, because I just think your site is so full of information that you can't hardly pass it by. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back with more of Meathead in just a couple minutes. You're listening to Barbecue Nation.
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now, with Barbecue Nation, here's JT.
Hey, welcome back to the Nation, Barbecue Nation, here on the Radio Northwest Network and here locally in beautiful downtown Portland. You know, Reynolds, I never told you this. This album, which is called Bat Out of Hell by Meatloaf, I wrote a review. When I was in college, I wrote a review for the arts and entertainment section. I wrote the review. I left. I went to Arizona to do an assignment. I came back, and all of a sudden, I was very famous because some of the staff and stuff were calling for my expulsion from Oregon State, because my good buddy, who was my editor, wrote a little caption and a headline for my story. It said, Meatloaf, Bat Out of Hell, music to screw by. And he had a caricature of a football player with his hand up a cheerleader's dress. I had nothing to do with that, but the one thing
I think the statute of limitations is gone.
It's gone too, but the one thing I do remember is one gal wrote in and said, for once, the Daily Barometer reads more like Rolling Stone than My Weekly Reader. So there you go.
I never really told you this.
Yeah.
But I will tell you the fact that that album I have a tacit history with, I guess, is that my mother used to play that nonstop growing up.
Really?
Yeah, so it's very burned into my brain, entire album.
I'm sorry about that, dude. Anyway, we've got oh my God. Excuse me. We've got Meathead Goldwyn with us today. Meathead's website is amazingribs.com, and he's got a new book out, The Science of Great Barbecue and Grilling. We may not get to much of that today because there's some other stuff we want to talk about, but he will be back on the show. So,
you know, speaking of meatloaf, though,
yes,
meatloaf is great on a smoker. You don't put it in a loaf pan. You just put it on a flat sheet tray.
Sure.
Let the smoke coat the exterior on all three sides. You build essentially like a football. It's flat on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Make like a football and pop it in the smoker. Cook it up to 160 internal temperature, which is a safe temp. And it's really good. And you can mix in all your favorite goodies. I know some people like to wrap it in bacon, but I like to leave the meat exposed to the smoke, and it's great. Meatloaf on the smoker.
I have had that, and it is great. It is really great. And one of the things that I do sometimes is I actually will smoke some potatoes and then mush them up with a little butter and salt and maybe a little half and half, and that's kind of a cowboy's way of making mashed potatoes without boiling them and all that stuff.
That's fantastic.
With a little of this barbecue meatloaf, it's good stuff. Good stuff. Anyway, more of your myths. One of the headlines here says, or the topic says, thermometers are for sissies. One of the things I've been preaching since we've started this show is you got to have a good thermometer. If you're going to cook anything seriously, and I don't care whether it's barbecue or even in your kitchen, you should have a serious digital thermometer. Your thoughts?
Preach it, brother. Preach it. Amen. I am in the church of thermometers. There is nothing that can improve your cooking faster than a good digital thermometer. Now, this is 2017 out there, people. That old dial thermometer that you've got in your drawer, it takes 30 seconds or more, and it's not going to be accurate. That's a technology that was invented in the 1800s. Get rid of it. Throw it out. You can get a really accurate, to within a degree, precision in 4 seconds, not 30 seconds,
right,
for $30 or less.
Right.
One of my favorites is a brand called the Thermopop. It's made by ThermaWorks. They make the ThermaPen, which everybody sees on TV, but this is their less expensive little brother, and it's $30. Sometimes goes on sale for $25, and it's just tremendous. Google it. In fact, we're such believers in thermometers at AmazingRibs.com. I have an electrical engineer who used to be head of engineering at ExxonMobil. He is retired, and he tests thermometers for us. We have ratings and reviews of 200 thermometers on our website. You can go there and search the database if you're shopping for a thermometer, or if you're in the store, you pull up your phone, check and see how the how it rated on our scale. And we have links to a lot of them, so you can order them from the manufacturer,
sure,
or from Amazon. But thermometers will change your life. You'll never overcook a steak again. And with beef at the price it is at now, now you can go out and expand and buy prime meat and not worry about overcooking it and have fabulous restaurant-grade steaks because you're not going to overcook it. But just as important is you don't want to undercook chicken or poultry. About a year ago, Consumer Reports went out and bought 300 chicken breasts from all over the country and had them lab tested, and more than 90% had pathogenic bacteria, and of those, half of them had antibiotic-resistant pathogenic bacteria. So you do not want to undercook poultry unless you, you know, unless you're trying to knock off grandma or your kids.
I thought about it, but anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, salmonella is a healthy adult will get really sick and be up all night hovering over the toilet, and
yeah,
probably not going to kill a healthy adult, although it can, but it can kill the elderly or young or immune compromised.
Right.
So you just don't want to screw around with salmonella, E. coli, campylobacter. We're real big on food safety on our site. We talk about it a lot. We don't talk about health at all because that's a moving target, and if you read a food writer saying this is healthy or that is healthy, run, because they don't know what they're talking about. Nobody knows what's healthy.
Right. No, I agree. And the one thing I don't put up with much is, as Reynolds can shake his head yes when he's sitting here looking at me, I choose to eat what I want to eat. I don't need somebody telling me that this is, you know, you need 2 ounces of tuna fish and 3 ounces of cottage cheese to make a balanced diet. I like those things.
Let me give you some perspective here. If you live to 80, you're going to eat more than 80,000 meals. 80,000 meals in your life. You can eat a 30% fat hamburger every now and then, and it's not. You can eat Cheetos, and it's not going to kill you. You got 80,000 meals. Now, you don't want to eat Cheetos every day, all day. You don't want to eat pepperoni every day, all day. But you can eat sinful foods. And in fact, as I started to intimate earlier, in the past year, researchers have come out and said, you know, we were a little bit wrong on fat and a lot wrong on salt. Now, they haven't let sugar off the hook yet, but there's a lot of mounting evidence that that salt and fat are not nearly as bad as they've been telling us, and in fact, they're good for us. And so, I mean, first of all, we don't manufacture salt at all in our bodies, and we need salt for our electrical systems. Our electrical systems cannot function without salt. Our brain needs salt. Now, we don't need a lot of it, but there's a lot of question now about how it affects our blood pressure. I'm not going to say whether it's pro or con. I just steer clear of it all. In fact, I've just said more about it than I ever have before. It's just a moving target, and you just, you know, as Mom used to say, everything in moderation. What we're more concerned about is safe cooking, safe eating. What's the proper temperature? Use your thermometers. Don't get anybody sick from undercooking the Thanksgiving turkey.
Right, right. Now, here's one of my fun things, and we've got, about three, 1 minute left here? Okay, we'll come. I'm going to give you the question, and then we'll answer it when we come back, because we'll have a few minutes to wrap up the show. When I'm grilling steaks, and you pull them off to let them rest a couple, 3 minutes, whatever you choose to do before you serve them. Well, after you've put them on a plate and pass them out, there's always some juice in the bottom of the serving platter. Okay. Now we know what that's called, but when we come back, I'm going to tell you what I do with it, and you can tell me what you do with it. Okay.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back with Meathead right after this. Don't go away.
Barbecue Nation with Jeff Tracy.
All right, welcome back to the Nation. A little Meatloaf, Bat Out of Hell music there today on the Nation. We've got Meathead Goldwyn with us from, as Jim Croce would say, the south side of Chicago. How's that? I was going to tell you, and we kind of led into this really quickly. After I've got the steaks on the platter and they've rested and people are serving, I usually serve myself last. One, because that's what I think a good host should do. But the other thing is there's always that little puddle of those nice kind of brown, you know, with juices in the bottom. I put them on my baked potato or something. I don't let them go to waste. And I know some people have gone, that's crazy. You know, no, I think you're wasting a really good flavor if you pour that out. Your thoughts?
Well, let's start by debunking a myth. You've been very circumspect in what you described it as. You didn't call it by the B word, which is what most people do. They call it blood.
Yeah.
It's not blood.
That's right.
It's not blood. The animal is relieved of all its blood in the slaughterhouse and the packing house. There is no blood left. Blood. What color is blood? It's dark red. It's almost black. The same color from a cow as it is from you. You cut yourself, look at that color of the blood. There's none of that coming out of the steak. What color is what comes out of the steak? Like you said, it's a little brown or pink, and it's runny. Blood thickens and coagulates. This is runny. It's thin. It's water. It's almost all water, and it gets its color from a little protein called myoglobin. Not hemoglobin, myoglobin.
Myoglobin, yep.
And then the scientists call it myo-water. But a steak is 70% water to start with, and maybe 7 or 8 to 10% fat, and the rest is protein and minerals. And so it's 70% water to start with. So there's going to be leakage, and resting it for 10 minutes will reduce it slightly, but not a lot. And if you rest it, what happens is all the energy from the heat that's built up in the surface of that meat works its way down into the meat and continues to cook it. And so you take it off the grill at 130 degrees. It's perfect, medium rare. That's what the thermometer will do for you. 130, 135 is perfect, medium rare. That's optimum juiciness, optimum tenderness. And you bring it inside, and while it's sitting on the platter, it continues to cook. And you're resting it, and now it's moved up into the medium range, and it's gone from red to pink. And you're sitting there going, oh, I overcooked the steaks, I'm sorry. You get the meat off the grill, and you serve it when it's hot, because people salivate when things are hot and sizzling.
Mm-hmm.
And much of the juiciness effect of meat is when you salivate. And so get it off, serve it hot, and don't let people freak. I think that's why people insist on having meat, well-done steaks, is they think it's blood. Well, where would it go? Where did it disappear to in that transition from medium rare to well done? It's just overcooked, and you've made the steak dry and hard. It's most tender, medium rare, 130 to 135, and it ain't blood, so don't freak out about it. And absolutely don't waste those juices on the mashed potatoes. And in fact, in most cases, and we've proven this, if you just run your fork through it, and everybody's done this, you run your fork with the meat on the end of the fork, and by the time you're done, it's all absorbed back into the meat, right back where it came from.
It kind of makes its own au jus, you might say.
Yeah.
Okay, Meathead, man, it was good to talk to you. I really enjoyed this. We will have you back on in a little over a month or so, and we will talk about your book, which looks absolutely amazing. And for those of you listening, you can go to AmazingRibs.com. You can get his books there. You can also get them on Amazon and other places. But check out this website, because it is just ruckchuck full of great information. It really is. And
well, thank you so much.
Yeah, and you know, on this little promotional thing you sent me, you even have a little temperature chart on the back of it. Anyway, we've got to get out of here this week. Our thanks to Meathead from Amazing Ribs. Like I said, we'll put his links and everything on the website. Next week, we're going to have Knob Hill Outfitters and Andy Black from Outdoor Kitchens. So remember what we say here, turn it, don't burn it. I'm the Cowboy Cook, JT, and we will see you all next week here on Barbecue Nation.
Barbecue Nation is produced by Alpha Media USA in association with JTSD Productions LLC. All rights reserved, copyright 2016. Barbecue Nation is managed skillfully by Reynolds in production compound 4 high above the skyline of PDX, the one with no windows. We'll be back next week with another entertaining and fun edition of Barbecue Nation. At least, that's what we believe. Remember, a good long smolder is better than a 2-minute flameout. See you next week.